some of the political class have complained that I talk too much about free trade. We haven't really, honestly, this election has been so vapid when it comes to issues. I've just honestly just tried to have some fun. But there are issues out there, and they're not just in the United States. But this is sort of just an example. And this is Canada, but these free trade deals, whether it be the European free trade deal or the TPP or the Korean, they're all the same. They're investor agreements between multinational corporations. And they're all meant to help the big guys versus the bad guys. And there could be some residual effects for countries that probably help consumers in some areas and not others. But they're certainly not meant for workers or the environment. Okay? They're terrible. But something very interesting is happening with the European free trade deal with Canada. And while I'm sure you're not all that interested on that topic per se, there is something kind of embedded in this that I do think you'll find interesting. This is from the Global Network.
We've heard a lot about Wallonia this week, the region of Belgium that's opposed to a major free trade deal with Canada. But who are these people, these Walloons as they're known, and why do they see this deal as such a threat? Our Jeff Semple is in Belgium tonight. Jeff, you've been talking to people in that little region that suddenly got a big voice.
Yeah, and they're certainly making themselves heard here, Donna. Both Canada and the European Union stand to get a lot richer if CETA is approved. But people in Wallonia are convinced that they'll only become poorer. They have the power to stop this deal, and they're clearly not afraid to use it.
For generations, Joseph Pontier's family has been farming in Wallonia. The region boasts one cow for every three people. The large number of small farmers are banned from using any hormones or GMOs to boost production. In return, they receive generous government subsidies. But Pontier says if the Canada-EU trade deal comes to life, Wallonia's farmers face extinction. The European Union is using us as a bargaining chip, he says. CETA, the proposed free trade deal, would eliminate 98% of tariffs, allowing Canadian farmers to sell Europe 50,000 tons of beef. We can't compete with large Canadian producers, he says. If you destroy the agricultural sector here, you'll also affect other local industries that depend on it. And Wallonia's rejection of CETA goes far beyond the farm.
We don't want CETA!
Walloons, as they're known, say CETA gives large companies too much power.
We have nothing, of course, against Canadians.
Wallonia represents less than a fraction, 0.45% of total trade between Canada and the EU. But Belgium's constitution guarantees each of its provinces a veto.
Do you really think it's right that a small region of Belgium can overrule more than half a billion people in Canada and Europe?
Okay.
Don't you love where the media goes? Do you really think it's right that a small area like this can stop a huge agreement like this? One little group of... And isn't that just an amazing attitude? Do you think it's right? Well, evidently that's what Belgians have written into their constitution.
What do you think of Malta, which is a state of the European Union with, I think it's 450,000 inhabitants. We are 3.5 million in Wallonia. This has been decided. It is a reform. We use the power which we have been given.
The socialist government is facing pressure from Wallonia's extreme left-wing Marxist Party, which is climbing in the polls.
It's kind of a perfect storm in that way.
This expert in Belgian politics says Wallonia's French-speaking minority has a much higher unemployment rate than the Dutch-speaking regions.
Belgium's a deeply divided country between French speakers and Dutch speakers. And for the French speakers in Wallonia, the view is that this particular agreement will benefit Flanders, the Dutch speakers.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted earlier that he is still looking forward to coming here to Brussels on Thursday to sign CETA. But it's hard to find anyone here who really expects that's actually going to happen. Even the president of the European Parliament admitted this morning it doesn't seem likely. So a deal that took 7 years to negotiate, Donna, clearly isn't done yet.
To the Wallonians, do you think it's right that an area of a country wants to protect its autonomy and its way of life. You think that's right? I love a reporter. Do you think that's right? That this area has a right to uphold its sovereignty? This affects millions of people. It's got to be good because it affects millions. Well, first of all, you know, Wallonia is probably the tip of the iceberg. This European trade deal is probably bad for a lot of places in Europe, and it's probably bad for a lot of Canadians. These are corporate handshakes. So as I was listening to that horse's ass Thomas Friedman the other day on Meet the Press, and he was talking about the TPP.
Traveling the world, and this TPP issue, nobody has ever truly believed, if you've covered Hillary Clinton long enough, nobody's ever truly believed that her switch on this was anything other than political. Did anything Tim Kaine said convince you otherwise?
Not in the least. I just want to say one thing about Kellyanne Conway. If I were an oil company and I had a huge spill on the coast of California, I'm hiring her. I have never seen anybody able to talk her way out of a bad client. The real truth, I think, Chuck, when we look back at this election, it'll be the election that both parties actually blew up. I think Donald Trump blew up the Republican Party. I think Bernie Sanders kind of blew up the Democratic Party, but it was patched over because of the urgency of defeating Donald Trump, who was a much greater threat. And trade will be a central part of what we'll see that fracture. I think it's the first place it'll appear after the election.
And we're going to see,
Chuck, is that TPP represents the single greatest liberal achievement on trade since we've negotiated trade agreements. The first deal that has real labor protection and real environmental protection. And that's exactly what Obama will be selling the morning after.
The elites just can't comprehend that people are standing up against these deals all over the world. And they don't get it. I have a question for you. Why don't they get it? Why don't they understand? 888-32. These are people that have read the stories of what's happened to Middle America, actually all over the country, because of free trade. And yet they simply are perplexed. They truly think people are dumb for opposing these free trade agreements. They simply don't. They've read what's happened to people and their jobs, and yet every time one of these comes around, they're like, "Well, you just don't understand." It's like, "Yeah, we do. The people of Wallonia do. We understand." Bit by bit by bit, people get singled out and they lose. Why don't people that in Washington and New York that work for the networks, that write for the editorial boards, why doesn't the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel understand after what's happened to their city? Or the Wisconsin State Journal, or the Janesville Gazette? They're the worst. Why don't they get it? Yep, there's a region of Belgium called Wallonia. And right now, Wallonia is holding up a European trade agreement with Canada. The United States one is stalled as well because their farming economy will be destroyed by cheap meat coming in from Canada. And yet the Belgium Constitution allows a region to have veto power over that country being part of the trade deal. So it's holding the whole thing up. And the media is like, well, this can't be right. You can't just have a group of people in a region in a country, you know, protect their economic system to stop our entire free trade deal. My God, the greatest minds of the world have put this together. And I truly believe this year, the one thing that is common on both parties is that free trade has become the most unpopular thing in the world. And by the way, Ron Johnson is hiding on the issue. He's always supported free trade up until this year. But if you look real closely, today he's campaigning with a senator from Georgia who used to be a businessman who bragged about using outsourcing as a way to get rich. So just look at the company Ron Johnson keeps. So anyway, why is it that the elite, whether it be the media or the powers that be in Washington and New York, don't get the intrinsic value and the understanding that people are standing up for their own economic survival? Why don't they get that? Randy in Freeport, you're on the Big FM 93.7. Randy, I bet you didn't think you'd hear about Wallonia this afternoon.
No, and I assume they'd make sweaters at Wallonia. But I'm going to tell you, Cy, I listen to your show, and a lot of times me and you disagree on a lot of things, politics and everything else, but that's the beauty of this. But I'll tell you, you've been spot on about a lot of things, and I watch Walmart as it comes into like my small town area, where we used to have three or four small vendor town, like a gamble store and that, and they've just disappeared because there's one superstore. And everybody sit back and said, that's okay, it's just free trade. And it doesn't hurt until it affects you yourself personally. And I believe that's why you see these people allowing that to happen, because they believe it's okay as long as it's only affecting the big guy.
Well, I always use Freeport as the number one example of why free trade is wrong. A wonderful community that's been devastated by free trade.
Exactly. And once you experience it close up and firsthand, you realize just how devastating it is. But until it affects you, it's somebody else's problem. It's the American way.
And so why don't you think they get it?
I think if they were put in the same boat with everybody trying to struggle, I think they'd get it. But as long as the money's in the pocket, they just don't care.
You know what's really funny about Washington, D.C.'s suburbs and that area? While the economy and wages have gone down in the rest of the country, they've gone up in the Washington, D.C. area. And I don't mean the inner city. I'm talking about the suburbs and the, wealthier parts of Washington. Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
Well, the rest of the wages go down, theirs go up.
And do you know Walmart went to put stores in Washington, D.C., and when they were told that they had to pay minimum wage, they closed all the stores down and moved back out?
Well, it's like the Walmart in Quebec that unionized. The workers unionized it. They closed it down. Matt in Freeport, you're on the Big FM 93.7.
Hold on, I'm taking you off Bluetooth.
Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
You bet.
Okay, so what I'm thinking is they don't understand, because everything has been for sale for them forever. You know, it's always been for sale before. Why isn't this for sale? Why can't we buy this? And they're so sheltered, and they're becoming even more and more sheltered.
So they just think
everything has been for sale.
Yeah, so they just think that there's this greater plus side because they get cheap goods.
Well, I paid all this money for this politician, and I expect this to happen. So they think that because they've already paid for it, I paid all this money to the media so that they cover it in this slanted way, why are we not seeing the results that we paid for?
Okay.
They're so sheltered from reality.
Well, it sounds like what you're describing to me is that they're entitled. They feel entitled.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling. Stacy in beautiful New Glarus here on the Big FM 93.7.
Hi, Fly. It's Cece.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi, Stacy.
Let's see. What is something that should be absolutely no surprise to people, but I know it's a big surprise to people. I'm 62 years old, and I can't say that I've been, the greatest, political, watcher, most of my life, but now I'm retired due to some health reasons, and I'm involved in more and more in politics, and I'm researching more and more, and I'm finding out more and more about, why we're in the state of crap that we're in, in this country. I volunteer for Green County United to Amend. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know about your organization. Sure.
Right, and United to Amend is not only, of course, here in Green County or Wisconsin, but it's in, it's going across the nation. And the idea is what you're talking about is big money, dark money, has absolutely slithered in to every aspect of our political system.
Well, that's true. But there's also an attitude of people that are supposed to be covering this that they simply, even when they have facts in front of them and they can see the carnage, they still seem to not understand why people are upset. They don't get it. Punchy, you're on the Big FM 93.7.
Well, they're simply beholden to their advertisers, which are the large multinational corporations that profit from these exact trade agreements that rip off all the little people. It reminds me a lot of what's going on in Wisconsin, where we've got all these big concentrated animal feeding operations.
Oh, they're terrible.
And up north, I mean, that's why milk is still $1.50 a gallon, $2 a gallon, because they've come in, they've kicked out all the little family farmers, they hire 10 illegal immigrant Mexicans to come in and run, you know, what used to take 20 family farms to do.
Uh-huh.
They're doing with 15 illegal immigrants now.
So, but why, Thomas Friedman, educated man from the New York Times, why doesn't he get it?
But if you look at it, that's what happened with, like, Yankee was paid to push that whole thing that's killing all the family farms. I mean, she's a great person in person, but all the policies that she's paid to push killed family farms. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, she kills her customers off eventually, too, but her listeners.
Yeah.
This isn't sustainable. This just isn't, this as an economic model, is not sustainable. Julie in Madison, you're on the Big FM 93.7.
Hello, Sly.
Hi.
So, building on what your other callers have said, the elites, the policymakers, are so segregated and insulated from what's going on with other populations. Half of them don't think it's that bad. They think people are exaggerating. And the other half don't care because it's not affecting them. And they don't seem to understand that eventually the have-nots are going to reach the point where they're so desperate and so hungry, they will do something ridiculous like put an orange Oompa Loompa in office. because they see even change for the negative, at least it's change. It's not the same
very interesting point. Thank you for calling, Julie. All right, we'll wrap this up with probably the one person who knew that Wallonia existed in Belgium. It's Marcus. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, Sly. I have been following this. And it's interesting the way you have posed this question. Although it's mostly an agrarian community, ethnically pretty diverse and unique, these people really understand the situation. One of the main things there are five main things. I won't go into it, but they're connected. It's not just the deal. They're really worried that this will set up tribunals that will usurp their own courts and will allow U.S. transnationals to come in and run the show economically. In other words, these Walloonians know what most Americans are completely ignorant of. And it's not that the power elites here don't get it. They get it. They don't care.
How can you not care?
Important to them.
What kind of human being would not care about a community's economic survival? How can you not care?
A human being who is profiting by having his boot on your neck. So the important thing is to spend $15 billion a month of everybody's money on killing people in eight countries. $20 million an hour. Set up a $500 billion surveillance network run by the NSA.
Well,
that's what's important to them. Not whether you have, groceries or something. That's irrelevant to them. They don't care.
It's hard for me that a human being that writes for a newspaper or is on TV broadcasting the country would not understand the lives of the people or care about the lives of the people that they're writing and broadcasting to. I don't understand that.
Well, it's called fascism. Look, in a fascist system, you make money by kicking the face of the person underneath you, and then they follow suit by kicking the face of the person underneath them. And the system is set up to make that work. That's our system.
Well,
and the people at the very top naturally bought government in order to put on this puppet show for you.
On John.
Pretending it's an election.
On John.
And people sit still for it. The Walloonians don't.
It's wonderful, and it's lovely that they have the power to stop it, at least for now. And Anjan, of course, calls this creative destruction. Marcus, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay.